Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'm saying it's hour number three, Dubsy. I'm not believing it here on the early line. The topics have been so good. The time has been flying by. And hour number three, even more action-packed than the first 2 hours. The money is right. It's a Wednesday. We're waiting for the World Series. Tomorrow, the NFL back in our lives. College football on every single night. The NBA has opened up, Dubsy. This is why I need the Sports Grid Network. Keep you in tune with every single thing that's going on out here in these streets.
Happy Wednesday, people. I'm telling you what, Donnie, there is no shortage on tap. If you're a sports fan, this is prime time, and we are getting you set. A World Series just two sleeps away. The NFL getting set for week 8. Nothing moves the needle like it, and no shortage in between there. So plenty of great opportunities to jump in, make that money, and if it's trending, obviously we're talking about the association back in the mix as well. So, Donnie, I'm charged up. I didn't have any caffeine earlier today. This is what I need in my life to get things going in the right direction. A little sports talk, a little wagering in the mix. Let's have at it. Happy hump day.
Yep, no caffeine for me either, Dubsy. Naturally supercharged we are for the early line this morning as we like it here. But also, Dubs and I, we talk back and forth. We go at it for 3 hours. We have fun. We bring up the hottest topics. But Dubsy, there's the times that we like to reach out to the public and say, what are you actually thinking? Which is our Fade the Public poll. If you follow along here on Twitter/X at SportsGrid, the question was asked today. Who has more pressure on them to perform in the World Series? It's not the team, the Yankees or the Dodgers. It's two individual players, and it's the two best players on the planet. It's Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani, both guys making a lot of money. Ohtani making obscene amounts of money. A couple hundred votes are in on this, and if we put that graphic up, it's actually kind of surprising. Now, I voted this way, too. Aaron Judge was my vote for having the most pressure to perform well in the World Series. That's at 75%. Shohei Ohtani, roughly around 25%. So I'm going to ask you the same question, Dubsy. Who has more pressure on them to perform well in the World Series?
I think Ohtani does, and there's 700 million reasons why. I think Aaron Judge has already solidified himself as one of the great Yankees. Ohtani has not in a Dodgers uniform, still in search of getting his first ring, and this is truly going to make him that generational superstar that we've become accustomed to. And I tell you what a bounce back season it has been for Shohei Ohtani, but you've got to get it done on the big stage, and this certainly looks to be it. It's not just, you know, you and me watching along here, Donnie, in North America. The whole world is getting set to watch this one, and there's no bigger superstar than Shohei Ohtani for the Dodgers. So with that, I would say the pressure is on my guy Shohei.
Two great players here, and if we're taking a look at the postseason, if you put runners on base, Ohtani's going to knock him in. If you put runners on base, we're actually hoping for Aaron Judge that he makes contact with the baseball. Big players rising to the occasion in big-time games, that's what we want to see. But if we are looking at MVPs entering into the World Series since 1969, six times that has happened, starting in 1970. Good old Boog Powell facing off against Johnny Bench. And by the way, Johnny Bench played for the Reds. Take a look at the next two guys that have done that. Actually, the next guy who's done it two times in a row, I should say. Joe Morgan of the Big Red Machine in 76 and 75, going up against Thurman Munson, who was with the Yankees, and Fred Lynn, who I believe back then was with the Angels. 1980, Mike Schmidt of my Philadelphia Phillies in the National League when he took on George Brett. Kirk Gibson of the Dodgers taking on Jose Canseco of the Oakland Athletics, and then Buster Posey and Miguel Cabrera, the two most recent ones. ones in 2012. So we do have star power. And if you saw that graphic coming up, it doesn't even look real. 322 average with 58 bombs and 144 RBI for Aaron Judge. Shohei Ohtani, a 310 average, 54 home runs, 130 RBI, and a million steals. You're talking about the two brightest superstars on the planet going talent, going head-to-head with that much talent. I can't wait to watch it play out. And could we say whoever has the better series, team probably wins the series, Dubsy?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that they're both that key, that pivotal to their team's chances in taking this thing the whole way. And I tell you what, it's going to be a bit of a career cornerstone, if you will, once it's all said and done. But for Ohtani, the pressure continues to build. But you know, these guys, they're superstars in their own rights. It's two of the best teams in baseball. We've got two MVPs squaring off. I just don't think it's that simple. I think, obviously, that there's going to be a lot of other factors that come into the mix. But for a guy like Ohtani, who just continues to impress with every single step that he takes forward, it's not going to be a surprise if he comes up with a couple of special feats as we go through here for the World Series. So Ohtani's going to be my guy. He continues to set the benchmark of what to expect from one of the greats in the game. And I will not be wowed again by anything that he delivers for this one.
We talked about who's going to win the World Series, the odds pricing there, which again has the Dodgers at a -122 price. We talked about will the series go over 5.5, which is heavily juiced, and also the Yankees getting 1.5 games here in the odds market for the series prices. But if we're looking at these two individual players for their World Series odds, Aaron Judge to win the MVP, that's a 5-1 price. Ohtani to win the MVP, it's a +230 price. 3+ homers in the series, +158 for Aaron Judge. 3+ home runs at 154 for Shohei Ohtani. And then the home run leader in the series, Aaron Judge at a 3-1 price at +310. And then, of course, Ohtani even at 3-1 here. If we're looking at those betting markets and I said, Dubsy, I'm going to give you a free bet. Which bet are you going to make on Aaron Judge and or Shohei Ohtani in these markets here?
I'd take Ohtani to lead in dingers there, +300. You're getting a better price than the MVP number at +230. If he leads the way, he's obviously going to take out the MVP, be getting a slightly better number on that return. I think Ohtani's going to be the guy for the Dodgers. He's been fantastic going through the playoffs. Again, I just don't see him taking a backward step. And for Aaron Judge, it's boom or bust. Just doesn't bring that same consistency to the plate there. So I think it's Ohtani for me. I love him to put up a couple of dingers. What's he going to need to lead that market? 2, 3, possibly 4, and we're getting +300. I think that's probably the price for me.
It makes sense if you look at it, because again, there's a reason why Ohtani is only a +230 price and Judge is 5-1. When we talk about like more ways to win that MVP, like yes, you need RBIs and home runs and base hits, but the ability to get on base and steal, Aaron Judge is going to be stealing bases. Ohtani is probably going to be doing that. And also, as we pointed out, that the Dodgers are the favorite in the series at a -122. So therefore, if they win the series, the MVP usually comes from the team who won the World Series. That would be Ohtani, and we'll see how it plays out. But let's take a look at the whole market in its entirety for MVP, and not just Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani. Of course, we just told you, +230 price on Ohtani to win, Judge at a 5-1 price. After that, Soto, Beth, Stanton, Muncy, Hernandez, Freeman, Hernandez, and Edmund. If we're looking down that board here, Dubsy, for your money, who would get the MVP if it's not Ohtani or Judge?
Teoscar Hernandez, +2,700 there, 27-1, 33 dingers and climbing. Just having that firepower, it's a market where it's going to be really volatile. We saw that coming out of the championship series. If the likes of a Tommy Edman can get hot and take that thing out, I think Hernandez has a really good chance. We saw it there at the Slugfest earlier this year. He certainly got that full diesel to send him yard in a couple of tough ballparks, and you're getting a monster price. So in terms of playing against the big names, Ohtani, Judge, and Soto, I think that's where I'd be looking. Mookie's been fantastic. Freddie Freeman obviously having a little injury concern there as well. So Hernandez adds a bit of a price, Donny. What about you? Who's the name that stands out at some value for us?
Like, I understand, like, there's a lot of, which is great. There's a lot of big names. I'm like, hey, it's just Ohtani, Judge, and a bunch of no-name guys. There are superstars across the board. These payrolls are massive for a reason because they have good players. But I always like to look, you go way down, like the Tommy Edmonds of the world. He just won NLCS MVP, which is incredible. He's at a 33-1 price. Do I think he can win it? Not necessarily, but Dubsy, if he's going to bat leadoff and these guys are getting on base, or let's just say you're pitching around Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani, he can do some damage in that fourth spot. Would I bet at him at 33-1? Probably not. Teoscar Hernandez, very good player also. But I think you're right about that. And even though it's not so much about a price point that you love, 950 on Stanton, because we do love the long ball. And when you hit the long ball, that means you're driving in runs. You're hitting base hits at this point. And if your team is winning and wins a World Series, you might just look and say, okay, both guys had similar, you know, totals here for average, but if you have five home runs to Stanton's, four home runs to Aaron Judge, and the Yankees win it, that's the place that you got to go. I love this. This series is going to be so much fun to handicap and break down. It doesn't start till Friday, but we at the Sports Grid Network, we're going to get you ready for Friday night World Series baseball. More NBA breakdowns coming next. Opening night, part two.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA opening night part two tonight. A lot of the league gets underway. We had the two standout games yesterday, one early for the East Coast, one late night for the West Coast. Superstars across the board, fun times. But it is a long season. It's an 82-game season, and we're going to start to handicap some of these games off the bat. And sometimes, Dubsy, the toughest games to handicap are what? Early in the season, because teams make changes to their roster. Teams that we thought would show up on opening night maybe aren't going to show up on opening night with the same players that we thought, which brings me, Dubsy, right to the city of brotherly love. Today it's the Milwaukee Bucks. It's the Philadelphia 76ers. Tip time at the Wells Fargo Arena, 7:30 p.m. tonight. And as we started off, the early look-ahead lines when these, you know, numbers came out was the Sixers' favorite at -4.5. Why? Because we expected Paul George and also Joel Embiid to play in this game for the Sixers. They are not doing that. So if I'm going to go ahead and say the anticipated starting lineup for the Sixers on opening night is Tyrese Maxey, Eric Gordon, Kelly Oubre, Caleb Martin, and Andre Drummond, going up against Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo. So let's start here. Is there any chance, Dubsy, you can be contrarian and say, the Sixers are at home, it's opening night, they still have Tyrese Maxey, I'm going to take them to win this basketball game?
And they're still grabbing points. No, I don't think so, Donnie. Not when there's so much production that rallies through Joel Embiid. And what a massive blow this is. I mean, it's opening night. You're trying to get your season going in the right direction, and you've got two of your biggest superstars in JoJo and Paul George not out there in the mix. So in terms of trying to rally the troops, I just don't see it. And for the Bucks, you know what you're going to get. These are salty, older season campaigners, if you will. You can throw Brook Lopez into the mix there as well. So if you can get 3.5, right around 4, I think the Bucks are absolutely live to put on a big performance. I think they're going to be one of the best teams going through the regular season for Philly. It's not a good start. You at least want to start the regular season at full health, and I feel like they're already playing catch-up out the gate, so not great for the 76ers.
Let's go to the totality, I should say, of this picture for the NBA. It's an 82-game season. I know we posted up earlier in the show a tweet that I said, you know, basically when the information dropped yesterday on Paul George and Joel Embiid that they were not going to be here opening night, it's like, I'm just ready for the playoffs here, because apparently this is one of the few leagues that the regular season does not matter one iota. Like, Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers have all but said he's not playing on any back-to-backs this season here. So the goal for the NBA now is no longer let's have fun during the 82 games and it's great to watch, great to gamble on, don't get it wrong. But at the end of the season, all we care about is the playoffs. And apparently that's all the teams and the players care about as well. So I know we're going to get to a couple other games, Dubsy, but 82 games in the NBA, they're never going to do this. Like, wouldn't the NBA be better if we had a 40-game season where the players played every single night? You had those big matchups that you look forward to on TNT and also ESPN where the superstars play. How many times in the past couple of years have you said, hey, marquee game tonight, make sure you tune into, I don't know, The Timberwolves taking on the Lakers, and LeBron's on a rest day and Karl-Anthony Towns didn't play in the past or something like that, or Anthony Edwards going to take the night off. How do we handle this? Or is this just the new reality in the NBA where the 82 games, the players, teams don't care just as enough, as long as we have enough wins to make the playoffs?
Unfortunately, that's the reality of professional sports here in 2024. Money talks, and for the association, every single game is making them millions upon millions of dollars. It's a long and vigorous season. And on the betting side of things, Donnie, you know, if you're looking to jump in and handicap some of these futures, certainly factor that in, especially in that MVP market. If you're looking at a player like Joel Embiid, who's maybe not going to play the minimum of games, or, you know, rookie of the year, certainly factor that in before you place those winning wages, because there are a lot of big names who are going to set to miss some big minutes and some big games and some big spots, because once it's all said and done, You want your superstars making that push towards the playoffs. It's not going to matter so much in, you know, the first couple of months here of the regular season. So it's an unfortunate thing in professional sports, but you look at the motivation, you look at the dollars that these guys are getting paid. It's in their best interest to remain healthy and be available once it's all said and done.
Like, even if you're a Sixers fan, right? Let's just say 3 weeks ago, hey, you know, I'm going to surprise my kids with opening night tickets to the Sixers. Sixers knew damn well for a week and a half that Paul George and Joel Embiid weren't going to play opening night, but just kept that quiet, sprung it on them yesterday, the day before. The fans are the biggest losers. The players always win. Like, Joel Embiid got a massive contract extension in the offseason and then basically told you, Dubsy, I might play 35% of the games this year, but give me my full money and we'll see you there. So the real losers, the NBA fans. We do have other action tonight out on the West Coast. We talked about it a little bit earlier. Early when Coach was with us, the Suns and the Clippers. That line actually opened up as a -1.5-point favorite towards Phoenix. That's now up to 5 across the board and a total of 225. Kawhi Leonard, who knows when he's actually going to play the season? Looks like it's just going to be James Harden going up against that superstar late in Phoenix Suns. I know it's probably a public play, but the Phoenix Suns, I'd rather back them tonight much more than taking the Clippers.
Yeah, absolutely. Star power. You got to back those superstars for the Phoenix Suns. 5.5 is the number going on the road here for opening night. The Clippers, new logo, new look. They're missing some of their key pieces. But I guess the most exciting thing about this one for me, Donnie, is getting a glimpse at the Intuit Dome out here in Los Angeles. Yet to get to this fantastic looking arena, but let's see how it all plays out there for the Clippers on opening night. I expect they're going to have something pretty special there in the works, but I don't think it's going to be special enough in trying to slow down a surging Suns first night up.
Dubs, when the arena is your main attraction for the season, things aren't looking up in L.A., particularly for those Clippers here. We do have another game out on the West Coast, the Portland Trail Blazers taking on the Golden State Warriors. A new era here, and the reason I bring that up is you look at that starting lineup, the only recognizable names for the most part, Draymond Green and Steph Curry, as they embark on another season together to try to put it there. Trail Blazers Warriors, Dubsy, any thoughts on this game for you tonight?
Yeah, look, I'm expecting a bit of a bounce back here for the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry, he's looked rejuvenated. I think Wiggins has still got plenty of upside there. And then you've got the walking bucket, Jonathan Kay himself. So, look, Golden State Warriors getting started in the right direction up there in Portland. Don't have massive expectations for the Trailblazers coming back in for a new year. But for Golden State, is the window still open? Probably not. Could they rattle a couple of the big teams and make us a couple of bucks? Yes, I absolutely think so. I'm taking a look at the number for this one. I think the Golden State Warriors makes a bit of sense here. Opening night, just leaning on that experience, that X factor. And if you can get them 5.5, 222 as that total, I think we could see overs, plenty of points. Steph to go off.
Yeah, Golden State still with that big payroll because Draymond makes quite a bit of money, and certainly Steph Curry, who was extended this year at big money as well for an extra year that he was eligible for. Klay Thompson walks to the Dallas Mavericks, so some built-in rivalries certainly that are going to take place. But the NBA is here, a full slate tonight. We'll watch that play out and certainly preview more in the next segment. The early line on a Wednesday. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Full slate in the NBA tonight. It's Dubs Anderson, Donnie Wrightside breaking down more NBA action, which we go to the Sunshine State, and that's Orlando Magic and the Miami Heat, setting the table at the FanDuel Sportsbook here in New Jersey. That line actually opened up as a 1-point favorite to the Heat, now rising to 2 points here. One of the lower totals that you're going to see, a 210.5. That had to be bet up, right? No, it actually went down to 208.5. Anticipated starting lineups tonight, Dubsy. Suggs, KCP, Wagner, Bancaro, and Carter Jr. for Orlando. And then for the Miami Heat, it's Rozier, Hero, Butler, Jovic, and Adebayo. What are we looking for in the Sunshine State? A coin flip here for the upstart Magic.
Yeah, again, I'm going to be leaning on experience. I think that's going to be the deciding factor for a lot of these teams on opening night. But the Magic, very cagey. You know, that total tells us expect plenty of defense, not a lot of points. But I think KCP's a fantastic addition. Can give him a bit of, potency from out wide beyond the arc there. But for the Magic, I do think they're going to be moneymakers going through the season. I just think opening night getting set to tip off. South Beach, the Heat, they're well coached. Spoelstra's going to get them set for the occasion. I think Jimmy Buckets and the boys, Adebayo, he will dominate the paint. If you're looking for a player prop, I certainly think he's going to get those boards here tonight.
Cheap numbers, they open up sometimes. It just depends on what that rotation is going to look like. But the one thing we do know, Spo is a great coach. He's always going to have those guys ready to go. And a big night on South Beach, no doubt about it. Let's head to the Motor City, which is the Indiana Pacers taking on the Detroit Pistons. That game tips off at 7 o'clock. A favorite to the Pacers, that opened up at -6, now sits at -5 here currently at the FanDuel Sportsbook. And a total that's up from 233.5 now to a live number of 235.5. So points are expected. One of the more fun teams to bet on in the NBA is those Pacers. They look to get up and down the court. Anticipated starting lineups tonight, Dubsy, between these two, Haliburton, Nembhard, Naismith, Siakam, and Turner for the Pacers. And then we flip it over to the Pistons, Cunningham, Ivy, Hardaway Jr., Harris, and Durin on that line here. The Pacers, for me, the better team, but sooner than later, the Pistons have to start the clock right here. A lot of young talent on that team and has to start to provide Ws. I wonder if they start tonight, but for me, maybe it's looking at the total because I love that Pacers pace.
Yeah, either play that team title or take the game title. 234.5, not enough to scare me off. Pace for the Indiana Pacers there, Donnie. I like what you did there, but they can score with the very best of them, and I thought they were fantastic at the back end of last season as well. Tyrese Haliburton, absolute superstar. He can get Pascal Siakam cooking in there, not nice and low. So I think the Pacers, they cover the number in this one. High scoring affair, as you alluded to, for Detroit. The clock is ticking. Expect boom or bust. When they're going to be on, they're going to be able to run with the best of them. They will live and die by that three ball. It's a dangerous way to play, but certainly a team that you can watch out for in that live betting as well. If they get behind by double digits, certainly have that ability to make a bit of an inroad into a big margin.
Little Caesars Arena, the place to be in downtown Detroit here. Maybe they can have a resurgence. We're seeing it right now from the Lions. You saw the Detroit Tigers get into the playoffs. Now it's up to the Detroit Pistons. Detroit basketball! Maybe we can bring it back here and have some fun with that, like the Bad Boys of the 1980s and the early 1990s. Another game we're going to take a look at here. This is going to be Cleveland and Toronto. Cavaliers versus the Raptors, 7:30 p.m. tip-off tonight. A favorite opened up here for the Cavaliers at -5, but now as we're seeing those live numbers on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Dubsy, up to 6.5, a total. How about this one? Opening line, 218.5. Number right now, 225.5. We're expected to get points in this game, Dubsy. Cavs, Raptors, any looks here?
Yeah, the bettors really starting to lean in, but that's a big number for a low total to try and cover 6.5. Going on the road against the Raptors out there in Toronto, who I know don't come in with a lot of star power, but they certainly come in fresh and well-rested. Scotty Barnes going to lead the boys there. Grady Dick getting in the mix as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think the Raptors at home, odds makers are telling us that there's not going to be a lot of points. I know that number's starting to get steamed up, but if they're grabbing 6.5, give me the home dog there to cover.
How about that? Anticipated starting lineups in that ball game tonight for the Cavaliers. Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, Caris LeVert, Evan Mobley, and Jared Allen. A lot of talent on that Cavaliers team, Dubsy, which I thought would have more of an impact last year. Maybe we were early on them a season, but there's a lot of talent. No longer a young team here. They should be able to provide some victories. The Toronto Raptors may be more of a look-see season on how they sort of formulate and shape that roster. As we point out, Emmanuel Quickly, Grady Dick, Ochi Agbaji. How about that? Scotty Barnes and also Jakob Poeltl in the starting lineup anticipated here. But the NBA is back. It's a fun league to bet, no doubt about it. The FanDuel Sportsbook certainly got you hooked up there. Maybe check out some of those specials tonight that we should have once again. But I'm enjoying it, Dubsy. By the way, did you enjoy last night? Were you profitable last night in the NBA?
Absolutely. I'm glad I stayed away from Bronny and LeBron James. The Lakers were always going to get it done. Lean on that superstar experience opening night. Let's go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And away we go, hour number three of the early line. It's the time of the show we always love here because it's Donnie Wrightside. It was Dubs Anderson. Now stepping in here is Joe Lisi. He's got an announcement to make today, which I'm going to make it for him. The pronunciation of his name, Joe Lisi. The spelling, J-O-E, Second last name L apostrophe I S I. Welcome in Laisi. Let's do it.
Oh, because I butchered Di Lorenzo's pizza, I apologize. All right, I put the tweet in and I put the apostrophe. I do apologize. That being said, you should have spent the money on actual pizza because that ticket's got no shot with Russell Wilson winning MVP. No shot, yeah, Donnie.
Just wait. You're just going to take off like a rocket ship this weekend when he wins. And by the way, pizza, like, there's like, I got Italian in my blood. Joe's got Italian in his blood. One eats pizza, one doesn't eat pizza. So I can't, like, I mean, what's going on with this? Now, we need to break bread, legitimately break bread, talking about eating pizza. If Russell Wilson, we got to have a bet, something going on here. Joe Lee's eating pizza live on air. If Russ, what, wins two or three games in a row? We got to get something together on this.
I'll eat pizza. I have no problem eating pizza. I'll set it up for a carb day. We'll do it on Pro Football Today, which, by the way, Donnie, on the horizon, right? The two-man show coming out in second week of November, right? Or something like that, I think.
I mean, I didn't want to say anything, but I'm not talking about upper management. I'm talking about upper management. They got an eye on that show, and you people are going to absolutely love that show coming up. Just a little teaser on the future. But as we tease the future, Joe, Super Bowl betting outrights right now, they're changing a lot on the FanDuel Sportsbook, and rightfully so. Wide receivers changing teams, the winners and the losers, the teams that we thought could be competitive, maybe not so competitive here, but it's still the Kansas City Chiefs at a plus 430 price at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Joe, leading the way at the FanDuel Sportsbook. I want to start right there. They're undefeated, yes. They just added a wide receiver this morning that we broke the news on. Nuke Hopkins coming over. They needed a veteran presence. They got it here. How influential is that move to turning them into Super Bowl favorites, and should they be the leaders in the clubhouse right now?
They should be, Donnie. And we talk about it on Pro Football Today that as long as Pat Mahomes is under center, he elevates everybody on that roster. I understand he's coming off the 154-yard performance, the interceptions, hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in back-to-back games. But now with DeAndre Hopkins in that offense, I think they start to elevate. I think Pat Mahomes will continue his presence. And there's no doubt that when playoff time comes, Kansas City is the team to beat. No doubt, as long as Pat Mahomes is healthy, they're deserving of the plus 450 price. But I'll tell you this, the way the Ravens have played over the last 5 weeks, especially from an offensive perspective, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, and that offense are cooking. I like them at plus 550 as well.
I love the Ravens. I think they're the best team in the AFC. I also think the best team in the NFC is the Detroit Lions at a plus 750 price. But let's sidetrack them right now because my focus is on the San Francisco 49ers. You watched last weekend. You have a game, and yes, Andy Reid's coming off a bye, but not a great Chiefs team per se. They get beat by double digits. They lose Brandon Ayuk for the season. You know, Debo Samuel ends up in the hospital. Foot sprain possibly here for George Kittle. Brock Purdy not playing great football. Still plus 850, though, Joe, as if they have a legitimate chance to win the Super Bowl. What do you say about that?
No, I can't buy in right now. From a continuity perspective, I can't buy in. The identity from an offensive perspective, completely different. Obviously, without Christian McCaffrey in that offense, we know Jordan Mason is a good running back. He's not elite. And it comes down to just Brock Purdy as a whole. The three interceptions last week with an opportunity to take that game over, he just didn't do it. So I can't buy in to San Francisco right now. And I talked about it again the other night. You know, if LA wins this matchup Thursday night against Minnesota, the potential to not even win the NFC West, I think, is on the table. Where is the confidence and mindset of San Francisco moving forward, knowing that they lost to Kansas City, Donnie, and knowing that Ayuk and Samuel and Kittle are all banged up? Is this team going to buy in just because they were able to do it in years past? I'm not so sure.
And by the way, you are looking at some of those shifting odds just based on the past like 24 to 48 hours, Joe. The Atlanta Falcons now sit at a 31-30-1 price. And you might say, what are you kidding me? They're not even the best team in the division. But technically, are they? The Saints are really injured. You saw the Tampa Bay season go up in smoke with the loss of Mike Evans to at least week 11. And it looks like Chris Godwin's going to be out of it. If we just focus quickly on the Atlanta Falcons at 30-1, if they do win the division and make the playoffs, does that 30-1 price hold up? Or are you just completely out on anybody in the NFC South?
No, I think, you know, 30-1 and you have a veteran quarterback, Kirk Cousins, that potentially could break out. Now, up until this point in his career, he only has one quality playoff win, but you can never say never. You're not going to get that value on anybody else in regards to being a divisional winner. So that's why, again, if we're talking long shots, I like LA They were plus 790 a couple weeks ago to make the playoffs with the veteran quarterback, assuming that they win and they don't sell out and move Cooper Kupp or Matt Stafford. I think they're a legitimate choice. But Kirk Cousins and Atlanta at 30-1 now, the healthiest team in the NFC South. You have to take a flyer on that heading into week number 8.
I don't think anybody's going to take a flyer too much on those New York Jets, as we just got a tweet sent out there by Ari Mirov saying the Jets quarterback is now also dealing with hamstring injuries in addition to his ankle and knee injuries and being old here. So who knows what's happening with the New York Jets. They should get a win this weekend, but I don't think any, too many people are buying into that situation. Let's keep it moving down the list and take a look at those MVP odds. We're like a rocket ship right now. It's Lamar Jackson, Joe. If you haven't checked the FanDuel Sportsbook out, he's a plus 195 to win his third MVP, now favored over Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Jared Goff. Lamar Jackson, 5 touchdowns, no interception performance, and victory over Tampa Bay. He should be, in my eyes, Joe, the MVP favorite at this point in the season.
Oh, definitely. Heading into week number 8, it's Lamar Jackson. We talked about it, 333 yards. When you have the rushing attack with Derrick Henry, it alleviates all of the problems. They're in manageable third down type of situations. So heading into week number 8, he's deserving, Donnie, of that price. But I will say, long shots, Jalen Hurts potentially could come on when we talk value 26-1 in regards to that. As long as Philadelphia rights the ship and defensively they've been playing well, I think it's great value. And I still wouldn't cut out Jared Goff, because you saw those two games, Seattle and the Dallas game, 36 of 43 in terms of completions, over 300 yards, even without Jamison Williams over the next couple of weeks at 7-1. Jared Goff has great value as well.
You know what? You bring up a good point on Jared Goff, because the shame of it is he's priced like he should be able to win an MVP at a 7-1 price. That's a good football team. And if I think they're going to be the best team in the NFC, Joe, the regular season MVP is what it's called. It's not postseason MVP. It's not Super Bowl MVP. Those numbers are going to be there at the end of the season. But sometimes I think he gets sidetracked a little bit, like Brock Purdy last year. It's like, well, he doesn't do anything great. He has a great offense around him, a great offensive coordinator. So you sort of shame that position. But Jared Goff is one to watch out for, because this guy routinely, Joe, whether it's not even throwing an incompletion in a game, but certainly a high completion percentage, that offense moves up and down the field. And then the extracurriculars that I like to say that you get when you have wins and you win your division and maybe you're the number one overall seed in the NFC. But as we look down that list, Brock Purdy, 22-1, I don't think that makes any sense, Joe. On this show today, I placed a wager with my free bet at the FanDuel Sportsbook of $25 to win $10,000 cash on Russell Wilson at 400-1. He plays the Giants this week. You know what? He might even be top 5 MVP after this Giants game this week, and that's what I'm buying. You buying? I heard you're buying.
No,
I heard you're buying. Come on. You're buying.
Donnie, they were 4-2 with Justin Fields there. Are you kidding me? He beat a beaten-down New York Jet team. He's going to be playing a beaten-down New York Giants team. He's going to put up numbers, no doubt. But that team was a train in motion with Justin Fields. Come on now. You're wasted. Thankfully, it was a free bet.
400-1 turns into 200-1, turns into Joe and Kevin, my best friends at the end of the season, trying to say they were rooting me on all along at this point. You know that's going to take place. I love the fact that they played the Giants this week, because Pro Football Today on Sunday is going to be heated. I might even have a Russell Wilson jersey and a terrible Where's Blue?
Really?
You need him right now for some backup support right now. Oh, Monday, Monday night on air. Oh, they might not show up. It might be a solo show on Monday night, which is typical to what I do on the radio on Monday through Friday. And by the way, I got to get in touch with Carver. I got to get Carver to talk you in to how much Russell Wilson makes some sense. But before we do that talking, did you know, Joe Lisi, College Football Week 9, I got emails, I got tweets that are telling me this is the best weekend we might ever see in the history of college football. Joe Lisi is going to back up that statement next, right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
By the way, we are teasing here that college football week number 9, Joe. Just real quick, is it the best schedule you've ever seen? I mean, how excited are you for this week compared to other weeks?
It's a good week, Donnie. It's not a great week, and I'm going to stand firm. I know there's 5 top 25 battles across the nation, but that slate last week was phenomenal. The slate 2 weeks ago was great and fantastic. This is a really good slate, and I'm going to watch every game, but stop with the tweets putting it out that it's the best we've ever seen. Come on now.
Now, if you now see, I'm going to give you a little bit of a pointer right now, Joe. You really want to have some fun on this network. You see your background, which is LSU, which I love. It's got great coloring. You put the San Gabriel Mountains in that background for this weekend. It'll really hit home here. Speaking of hitting home, we are looking at the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, and it seems like it's a two-man race. But also, one of those guys not going to be ready to race this weekend when we were supposed to get a toe-to-toe between the Chicago Bears' Caleb Williams and the Washington Commanders' Jaden Daniels. Look at that price point, Joe. Minus 115 and plus 100. Neck and neck right now. Number one, do you think it's deserving still that Daniels is the favorite? And number two, who's going to win this bad boy?
Well, I think Daniel's deserving of being right there as a minus 115 favorite. The body of work, even though he didn't play for much of the game last week against Carolina, this team is in a position to potentially not just make a wild card, but challenge for an NFC East title. So I don't think a lot of people thought that, especially with the 6.5 win total at the start of the year. Caleb had an 8.5 win total. The odds were a little bit better for Chicago to make the playoffs. So I think it's deserving, but this weekend, if Caleb Williams does, in fact, get the victory and perform at an elite level like he has over the past 3 weeks, I think he overtakes Jaden Daniels. I think both players will be there, assuming Daniels is in the lineup over the next couple of weeks, Donnie. But Caleb right now is starting to come on. He's starting to extend plays. He seems more confident. He's running the football when the opportunity is there. And again, he's putting up numbers, and Chicago has won dominant performances over the past few weeks. So I don't think it stops. We'll see how this game plays out. Even though Mariota played very well in mop-up duty, I still give the edge to Chicago, but we'll see how this game plays out this coming weekend.
Let me ask you a question, because it seems like they're 1-2 in the draft. They're clearly the two best players. And let's just say, not barring injury, if I gave you a wager outside of Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams, whose argument can you make to say this guy can win it? Even, and again, with Daniels and Williams still being healthy, maybe just not playing as well, who can step up into that picture and maybe win Rookie of the Year?
I was going to look at the two long shots, and one is Brock Bowers because of how much he means to that offense. They have nobody outside of Brock Bowers now. Now, they need better quarterback play, but I think Brock Bowers at 40-1. And I was going to throw this out to you. Keon Coleman, mm-hmm. coming off the performance with 125 yards last week, now having Amari Cooper, knowing that teams can double-team both Keon Coleman and Amari Cooper. If Keon Coleman puts like a string of 100-yard performances, mm-hmm. with Josh Allen, could he get back into the running with Malik Nabers? I think Nabers will tail off, because that offense in New York is atrocious with Daniel Jones at the helm and the offensive line issues. I can only look long shots of Bowers and Keon Coleman.
Yeah, some of those pass catchers here. We do see it's like a two-horse race right now, but it's a long season. There's still rookies here. Guys can step up. Guys can fall out, and we'll watch that play and watch and pay attention to. Speaking of pass catchers here, another one, I should say, might be on the move here. Cooper Kupp, we had a tweet yesterday from Diana Rossini saying the Rams have called multiple teams about trading former Super Bowl MVP Cooper Kupp. The Rams have indicated a willingness to take on some of the 24 salary and also are seeking a second-round pick here. So we might be looking at, Joe, a do-or-die game for the Los Angeles Rams on Thursday night. If they win, you can say, hey, let's keep Stafford here. Let's get Puka Nacua back in the fold. Maybe we can get Cooper Kupp back, because the NFC West, not exactly anybody trying to run away with it here. But your thoughts on Cooper Kupp, who might be on the move now?
Yeah, I agree. So if LA drops this game, then maybe they do ship him. But if they win, they'll be 3-4 overall. They'll be right there potentially to make a wild card. So I don't think they ship him in that type of situation. If they do, though, Donnie, I talked about this with you off air. Tampa Bay, potentially with the loss of Mike Evans and Godwin, do they try to take on his salary just for 1 year to try and make a playoff run? We'll see how that plays out. But I think LA needs Cooper Kupp in that lineup to potentially make a wild card. So big picture, if you're banking on the Rams to make the playoffs, not just tomorrow night against the Vikings, but big picture, you need Cooper Kupp in there. I still think they're live at 10-1, and I would take a shot at plus 610 to make the playoffs, because I believe in McVay and I believe in Stafford big picture.
It's interesting because you would have to make that wager, let's just say, before that Thursday night football game, because if they do win, I don't think they're breaking it up necessarily. But also, Stan Kroenke's got a ton of money as an owner. And the reason I bring that up is you see this in Major League Baseball, Joe, where you'll pay more to get a better prospect back, which means if I'm going to take on a veteran salary who's making $10 million, I might say, you know what, I'll pay $7 million of that $10 million, so you don't have to, but I want the best prospect in your organization. You saw that tweet from Diana Rossini basically saying the Rams will pay his 24th salary if you come up with a second-round pick, right? So something of interest here for the teams, because Tampa Bay might be cash-strapped a bit, but if you're saying this guy's going to pick up the majority of the salary, you might be able to fit him in under the salary cap and certainly make some things happen. Taking a look at the game that will take place on Thursday night in Los Angeles, it is an interesting line here. Like, the Rams are getting 3 points and only 3 points from Minnesota, who finally lost a game last week. Kyren Williams will be there. Cooper Kupp expected to play, Joe. Or could they be a live dog on Thursday night in this game?
I think they can. Now, back-to-back home games against Green Bay, they didn't look good. And obviously, last week, they struggled as a 7.5-point home favorite over Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell, right? They win that matchup 20-15. But it is a short week. We saw Minnesota potentially get beat up a little bit by Detroit. Sam Darnold, not as an elite performance. Maybe he regresses a little bit. And again, I still believe in the Rams. Big picture, I think they're live plus 124. I think Kyren Williams could be a factor. 73.5 is his total. I like him to get to 100. That goes right into the strength of Minnesota, but it's a short week going to the West Coast, something that you and I talked about. Kyren Williams could be a main factor of that offense Thursday night.
How about this, Joe? Cooper Kupp, 68.5 listed as a receiving prop. Could this be a showcase game for Cooper Kupp that he's healthy and ready to get moved to get that feeding frenzy, Joe, out there for Cooper Kupp?
It's possible. Hey, you have to try and win the game, right? You want to be 3-4, so maybe he gets to 100 plus two, Donnie.
Oh, a lot of alts out there in the market, as Joe going to say. You know what? It's Tutu Atwell's night. Big night on Thursday. Lead Pipe Locks with Joe Lisi next right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the early line, Donnie and Ben will be back tomorrow. Donnie, myself, and Kevin Walsh will be on Pro Football Today in-game live. We'll be covering Minnesota and the LA Rams. We'll talk about that tomorrow night, but we have time for bye-bye-bye. No baseball. The baseball starts on Friday night, so I'll give an NBA selection. Keyword, I lost the NBA last night. I gave out Naz Reid 8-plus pounds. Everybody was all over me. I typically don't give out NBA, but we'll try to bounce back in night number two of the NBA. Friezo, give me bye-bye-bye.
Bye-bye-bye.
Bye-bye-bye. We're going to look at the Miami Heat game. Everybody looking at, hey, Hero. Hey, Hero. Tyler Hero. I'm going to look to Terry Rozier. His number is 14.5, but that's not good enough for me. We have to alt it up to 20-plus at plus 250, plus 290 in that area up on FanDuel. So take a look. We're going 20-plus points for Terry Rozier tonight. Miami Heat open their 2024 campaign at home. I believe they're a two-point favorite in that matchup, so we'll see how that plays out. Hopefully we can make some money. But tread lightly, NBA is not my obvious niche. You know what's my niche? College football. Huge game in College Station, SEC. We saw LSU bounce back in a huge performance against Arkansas. That was a game LSU dominated right from the get-go. They win it 34-10 over the Arkansas Razorbacks and Talon Green. LSU started fast. Nussmeier, Caden Durham on the ground, you name it, the LSU Tigers did it. But this team is winning with defense. Very difficult matchup this weekend against Texas A&M. Texas A&M did struggle this past Saturday with Mississippi State. They got the 10-point win, but no cover against the Bulldogs. They were an 18.5-point road favorite in Stark, Vegas. They have won, Texas A&M, the last three meetings in College Station against LSU. They've won those games by an average margin of victory of 10 points per game. They open up as 2.5-point home dog favorites against the LSU Tigers. It's back-to-back road games for LSU. That could be a cause of concern. but I still have to go with the better quarterback, which I believe is Nussmeier over Connor Wegman. Connor Wegman last week struggled with inconsistency, did have two interceptions, only one touchdown. Nussmeier is starting to come into a groove. I like the way Will Campbell and the offensive line are playing in terms of protection. You saw Daniels come back. Hilton's supposed to come back in that offense as well from the wide receiver position. Kyron Lacy, a dynamic performer. Mason Taylor, one of the best tight ends in college football. And what about their defense? I've said it over the past couple of weeks, the reason why I'm buying into LSU big picture isn't just because of the offense. It is, in fact, the defense led by their linebacker, Whit Weeks. This guy is all over the football field. He's a game changer. He did have five solo tackles last week. 37 on the team and on the season. That's number one in LSU. Greg Penn, another dominant linebacker. Blake Baker has that defense flying to the football. They do have 24 total sacks on the season. We talk about over the past 3 weeks, another three last week. They have 22 over the last five games of the regular season. So think about that. The defense is starting to come into form. The offensive line is protecting Nussmeier. It's a difficult schedule, no doubt. After this game, they do face Alabama at home, but I think LSU is legit. I think they pick up another gutty road win, and I'm just not sold on Texas A&M's offense big picture. They have good weapons. I don't think they have elite weapons. I know the series does, in fact, favor Texas A&M, but I still give the edge to Brian Kelly in this spot. This has typically been a roadblock for LSU because it's at the end of the regular season. This is right in the middle of the regular season. LSU playing for everything in front of them. They're 5-1 overall in the conference, undefeated. So keep an eye out for that. Their only loss on the year is against week one against USC. So as long as LSU can step up, Texas A&M's undefeated as well. You pick up this road win, you knock off Alabama, you're cooking now for potentially a national championship appearance. 2 weeks ago, actually 3 weeks ago, they were 60-1 on FanDuel. They've cut down those odds significantly. We'll see how that plays out. Other games of interest, Notre Dame and Navy. That game's going to be played on a neutral field. Notre Dame right now opens up as a significant 12-point favorite. Navy, though, playing with house money, that could be an issue. Missouri on the road against Alabama. Can the Tigers do it? We'll see. Craig Mish coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.